This is Wade Brathke with the Chief Organizer Report on grinding out a hollow victory under the NLRB for garbage workers. For more than 20 years, Local 100 has represented hoppers in New Orleans as well as other cities in South Louisiana and Texas. Hoppers, gunslingers, whatever they might be called, are the laborers at the rear end of garbage trucks handling the business end of the enterprise, making sure the content of filled cans gets into the hopper, which is the large cylinder that rotates and compacts the garbage on the route. Even as the process has become more mechanical with lifting arms and special cans, many an 80-gallon piece of plastic is still heaved into the hopper to keep the route speeding along from house to house. This is hard, sweaty, and often dangerous work. These workers for decades have been subcontracted by municipally privatized sanitation contractors like Waste Management or Browning Ferris, or smaller companies to temporary employment agencies. Some unions and organizers, along with the general public, wrongly assume these workers are company employees when and if they notice them at all, and believe that if they are temporary or casual, they're not covered by the National Labor Relations Act, but of course they are. When we won these elections in the 1990s, we bargained the workers up for minimum wage and archaic employment practices like Chinese overtime, still common in the industry for such workers. At the time, it was front page news in the Wall Street Journal. After Katrina hit New Orleans 10 years ago, garbage service was provided by FEMA for a while, meaning that all the workers and contractors disappeared, lost their jobs. When they came back under the now disgraced and jailed Mayor Ray Nagin, there were new companies and new contractors. We were able to establish that one new contractor, Milton Berry, was a successor, and we attempted to bargain a contract with him. There was a problem, though, and a big one. Berry had unilaterally rolled back wages, so we filed charges to recover the losses while trying to bring this outfit up to the 21st century and modern worker protections. Easier said than done, because all Berry really had going for himself was a knack for cutting corners and some lawyers who didn't care about anything but getting their hourly rate. We got 10J injunctions, we endured appeals to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, anything to wind down the clock. Berry lost the contract for the hoppers, but the lawyers kept on. The final order has now come out more than 7 years after we filed the initial charges. The NLRB ordered Berry and his wife, as owners of M&B Services, to post 15 notices, but no hoppers will ever see these notices of unfair and illegal activity because Berry no longer has a place of business in New Orleans. He's been ordered to pay $223,781 in back pay and interest through September 22nd, and $42,292, a figure that will keep rising until payment, from a total $266,000 now. The checks supposedly have to be received by the NLRB in their offices by no later than the middle of October. No question, if you read the order after all these years, Local 100 and the workers have a victory in hand. Rosa Hines, Local 100's New Orleans office director, who's handled this case throughout this period, should frame the order and put it near her desk somewhere in the office. That way we and the workers will have something to remember from the struggle, because after all of this time, it's unclear that any of them will ever see a dime. The NLRB order reads this way in finding culpability. M&B Services, Inc., Berry Service, Inc., Berry 1, Berry Services, Inc., Berry 2, Berry Transportation, LLC, Milton Berry, an individual charged with personal liability, Carolyn Berry, an individual charged with personal liability. Milton Berry's business address is now in a New Orleans suburb. Carolyn Berry, his wife, has a business address in Magnolia, Mississippi. Their businesses are small potatoes, but having been led down a bad road by their lawyers' exploitation of the deadening legalistic bureaucracy of the NLRB and the playground it allows scofflaws, they are now personally on the hook for $260,000 and rising. The next lawyer they hire will probably be a bankruptcy specialist, not a labor law exploiter. The Berries will have a sad tale to tell at family dinners about the evil of unions. Meanwhile, the union and the workers, 7 years later, will have something they can look at in a frame with the slim chance of ever seeing a dime of back pay and the ongoing struggle of still trying to work on wages still lower than they enjoyed a decade ago. Maybe there is hope in the new joint employer decision in LRB that allowed justice to be won from the primary contractor, but that's a fight next time. For now, there's no celebration over a hard-won victory this time. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.